Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nugent Hopkins, left side Frederick. Now to Nugent Hopkins here on the near side out front. A chance, and Bobrovsky, a huge save that time on Jeff Skinner. And he keeps the Oilers off the board. The 17th save for Sergei Bobrovsky as he sealed things off at the near post.
Welcome back in here on WQIM. The Panthers celebrating back-to-back Stanley Cups. And the voice you just heard there, Doug Plagans, is going to join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. Doug, good morning, my friend. Congratulations on another cup and a tremendous season calling Panthers hockey here on QIM. And none better than last night, my friend.
That was amazing. It's still setting in. Thank you. Thanks very much for having me on. I want to say thanks to all of you, and I'm going to be getting in touch with a lot of people, but everybody over at our flagship home, 560 WQAM, for, again, the great work all season long and the support all season long, and helping everybody stay in touch with the team out there. It was another special season, and I hope everybody's just taking it all in, because I remember the last time I was on with you guys, we talked about that idea, and that was, I believe, during the conference final, and we knew that the Panthers still had some boxes to check, but a big part of our conversation was, this is the golden era of Panthers hockey, and you need to make sure you're taking this all in, that you're enjoying it,
Yes. Because
what they've accomplished now, especially back-to-back cups, three straight finals appearances, this kind of stuff just doesn't happen in the current age of pro sports. It's rarefied air, and what the Panthers have done here is historic.
And, you know, Doug, for me, the most impressive part of this team is that they just don't get rattled, right? Game four was rough. That was a collapse. You know, you had the series, you know, in your hands there, and it slipped away, and you're going back to Edmonton. You're thinking, this could be bad here. They win games five and six and in dominant fashion, but it just doesn't bother them.
So a couple things on that. First off, it just shows you, I know that a lot's been made of the fact that the Panthers led more in terms of minutes leading in this series than anybody's led, I believe, in the modern era, I think all time in the history of the Stanley Cup final, and it's incredibly impressive. But hats off to a very good opponent. The Edmonton Oilers aren't going away. That team's going to be in the mix for a long time to come, too, just like the Panthers are. But it shows an ability that not many in sports have to be able to hit a reset button, because, as you said, that Game 4 loss at home was a tough one. The Panthers had a lead. The lead slipped away. Very uncharacteristic of this team for that to happen. But I think one of the stories of the series then is the way that the team was able to rebound. And the way they played Game 5, they limited Edmonton forwards, some of the most elite in the game, to just 11 shots on goal in Game 5 in Edmonton, nonetheless, and really laid out a defensive blueprint. And once we saw Game 5, I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty optimistic going into Game 6, especially based on how Game 5 went, because that's something this team has been really good at doing the last few years. When they find something that works, they have a really good ability to duplicate it from night to night, and they did exactly that. And the other thing that I thought was a big story in Game 6, the Panthers have been built to outlast teams. They've been built, and they've talked a lot about this. They prepare for every series to go long. They prepare for seven-game series. So they have an ability to wear down an opponent. Yeah. And we saw that come into play here. And I thought, oddly enough, even though Edmonton came back and won Game 4, if you just looked at the minutes played totals that some of their players racked up in getting that overtime win, that comeback win in game four, you wondered with a quick turnaround going to game five, was that going to take a toll? And the Panthers looked like the fresher team in game five, and they absolutely looked by last night like a team that had totally worn down the opponent. And I think that's a hallmark trait of this Panthers team, to be able to outlast an opponent. You know, if you're talking boxing, being able to land a series of body shots after body shot after body shot to just wear down an opponent. And I think that's what we saw over the course of the series. And by the end, I think that the Panthers had just outlasted the Edmonton Oilers, plain and simple.
Now, this is a question for a novice hockey watcher like myself, Doug. I was watching the second period, and they were checking, the Panthers were checking them into the boards. And you could just see all of the fight just dissipate from the Oilers. Did you, is that something that was just my imagination, or did you see it as well?
I saw by the time it got to 3-0, you started to see a pretty deflated looking Oilers team. I think you're pretty accurate in that assessment, because I really thought, and I know it was too early to say it. We all might have been thinking it. But because of the timing of it, when Matthew Tkachuk scored in the final minute of the first period to make it 2-0, I think you saw some of the will of Edmonton get just vanish at that point in time, because you know, they were at a point where they had probably, you know, fired just about every bullet that they had at that point, and it just wasn't working against this Panthers attack. And they had probably spent every dollar worth of energy that they had by that point in time. And the Panthers just didn't give them anything as the game went on. And I thought that the early part of the second period was going to be a big tell in terms of what the Oilers had left, because down 2-0, you figured they were going to start going McDavid, Draisaitl every couple of shifts, and the Panthers just didn't let them get to their game. And I thought that was interesting, and a lot was made of it after the media availabilities and after the morning skates the day of game six yesterday. Edmonton's Leon Draisaitl said something to the effect of the Oilers hadn't been able to get to their best game yet. And you're thinking, okay, on one hand, you know, we're going into game six. When do you guys plan to bring out that best game? But on the other side, I think the bigger story, the Panthers didn't let them get to it, because the Panthers just play a suffocating defensive style. And the Panthers were able to get, they scored 2 goals or more in every first period of the series. When you're letting a team like the Panthers get leads and then play the game they want to play it, and Sergei Bobrovsky was as locked in as he's been, and I don't think enough conversation about Sergei Bobrovsky took place during this run, but, you know, the Panthers had everything going. And getting back to that, I know Sam Bennett won the Conn Smythe Trophy, and it probably was a coin flip between Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand. I haven't seen the voting totals. I'm not sure if or when those get released, but it speaks to how good those two guys were, because the Conn Smythe Trophy is obviously, unlike some of the other leagues, it's a playoff body of work award. It's a playoff MVP award, not just a you know, final MVP award. And Sergei Bobrovsky is a future Hall of Famer, and he may have put together his best statistical postseason that he's ever had. And you really didn't hear his name get talked about enough, but he was unbelievable these last couple of months on that run. And that's something else. And I know I've taken your question a few different directions, but it's also something rare with this team when you can look up and down the lineup, whether it was in game six or throughout the entire run, and every player in uniform, every player who stepped on the ice during that run, and then some of the guys who didn't, who were around in practice every day and were, you know, just part of a numbers game and weren't on the ice every night, or the backup goaltender Vitek Vanacek, who was a total pro during all this and did everything that was asked of him. Every guy had his fingerprints on this in some way or another, and it's just a special team.
Doug Plagans, the voice of the Panthers here on WQAM, is with us. And, you know, Doug, it was funny. We asked this morning, who's the best player on the Panthers? And I don't know that you can answer that question very easily, because you had so many guys step up, and it's such a balanced attack, right? You could go a bunch of different ways with that, but I think that's the great part about this team. Like, you know, with Edmonton, it's Connor McDavid. There's going to be a lot of focus on him. It's all him. With the Panthers, you had, you know, Marchand stepped up, Reinhardt, Bennett, you know, Barkov, you Tkachuk. You have so many different guys that can step up at any given moment.
Well, I'll tell you what, obviously last night, the big game, Sam Reinhardt on a short list of players who've scored four goals in a Stanley Cup final game. And then you have Matthew Tkachuk, who had the eventual game winner, and that was set up on a great feed from Etu Luostarinen, who had he was a beast in these playoffs too. You go up and down the lineup, you can tell good stories about everybody here. Obviously, you know Alexander Barkov's skill set is one of the most unique in the National Hockey League as far as the two-way ability that he brings. And in that series, the job he did against Connor McDavid over six games, that cannot ever be overlooked. It cannot ever be forgotten because he was matched up against him a lot. And that's the matchup if you're the Panthers, if you're a Panthers fan, that's the matchup you want. And in handling that role, do you sacrifice a little bit of offense? Sure, maybe you do. But when you have two forwards on a line like Barkov and Sam Reinhardt, who have two of the highest hockey IQs and two of the best defensive skill sets among forwards in the National Hockey League, that's going to be difficult for an opponent, and we saw how much that came in handy. And it shows how deep this Panthers team is, too, when you're able to have, you know, a guy like Barkov focus so much on the defensive side of the game through a series like that, and you're able to have so much offensive production coming from so many different sources. This Panthers team just showed their depth. It was on full display throughout this entire run.
Doug, I want to thank you for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the parade on Sunday, by the way. That should be a whole lot of fun again.
Always fun. Thank you very much. Hopefully it stays a little drier for us this time around. But, hey, rain, shine, whatever the situation is, we will have a heck of a time there at the Stanley Cup Parade.
And we got to rip some hockey cards soon, man. When all this settles down here, we got to have you in studio. We got to rip some hockey cards, all right?
I'm in. You tell me when. Let's do it after the dust settles here. We'll make that happen.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in here on WQAM. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by Alex Solana. He is the host, co-host of the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana program in the afternoons here on QAM. Solana, good morning. How are you, my friend?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. As you can hear, I am losing my voice. Dan Day seems to be getting his voice back.
I'm getting stronger.
It's been one of those weeks, man. It's been a championship week, and you've been a very busy man, as I see. Who let you on the ice after the game? That's my question.
Yeah, I just snuck on. I just snuck on. Yeah.
You got some great stuff out there, by the way. I am curious, though, what that was like, because I saw your video. You were walking through the tunnel. That had to be a pretty cool experience.
No, I mean, that was one of those moments. I had posted, you know, the next morning, Hollywood, this job is cool, right? Like, we're very fortunate, and we all bitch about things all the time. But, like, in the reality, you know, we get to wake up, you a little bit earlier than me, and talk sports every day. And, you know, you've done pretty much everything there is to do covering sports for WQAM Hollywood, and this was one of those moments for me. You know, I've covered Heat championship runs, even though they didn't win the title in 2023. I was a part of the broadcast. I don't know, man. Like, we can go through the list, but to be walking out onto the ice as the Florida Panthers have just lifted their second Stanley Cup was one of those like pinch me moments. Genuinely, like that was really cool. It's also effing awesome how they do this, right? Like in hockey, I mean, it's the only sport I can think of where, oh, guys just lifted the title. Everybody rushed their like place of employment. Don't wait for them to get back to the locker room. Like everybody rush the stage. Everybody rush the ice to go talk to them. And it's just like raw, passionate emotion with these guys who are all cool. Like they just want to celebrate. They want to have fun. They all seem like really, really good dudes. And it was awesome. Like genuinely really cool.
I will admit, as a Panther fan, we were talking about this yesterday. I go back to the era where they were giving away tickets at the door. If you showed your Florida ID and you said you had never been to a game before, like I buy one, get one season tickets. So on, I go back to those days, and it's almost still feels weird that we're talking about the Panthers being the dominant franchise in the National Hockey League.
Hollywood, my first job in radio, I was hired by 790 The Ticket as promo. I'm still in college at this point. I'm going back to 2015. My first job was to go to Panthers games and set up the 790 The Ticket tent and literally hand out free tickets. Ooh. I mean, we're talking about 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
I'm just handing out free tickets to other games. Like, think about that, right? Where this team, what they did, what Zito did to get to this point, truthfully, is remarkable. He traded a franchise leader, a cornerstone of the franchise for almost a decade. He traded him for some guy that I would bet Hollywood most of the fan base had never heard of up in Matthew Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. At least I hadn't. So like that people don't make those moves, and man, did it pay off, right? Like in a big, big way.
And it paid off with the guys on the ice the other night lifting the trophy. Solana, you were on the ice, and I know it kind of gets to be wild, kind of a melee and craziness, but were you in the moment realizing that first the celebration, they let the guys who had never won the Stanley Cup handle it at first, or was it just too crazy on the ice at the time to realize what was going on?
No, I mean, that was cool. That was really cool. First of all the Tkachuks had elbow room hats on, so like there was absolutely no doubt, zero doubt about where the after party was going to be. That was pretty cool. But no, I mean that, like you notice that, absolutely you notice that the amount of people around Brad Marchand was insane, because you know we all know Brad Marchand comes from Boston, played for the Bruins. That was a very controversial trade. Highly talked about outside of South Florida. We know that, right? And then you're kind of around him. Like Bobrovsky has a decent sized group of people. Barkey has people around him. But all of a sudden, like you notice there's like this massive crowd around one guy, and it's Brad Marchand, like his family, and then a million reporters trying to get to him. It kind of puts into perspective like how big of a deal he is in the hockey world. But man, Matthew Tkachuk was on a mission, and that mission was A, to let everybody know what he had been playing with, and B, he wanted to get the hell out of there. He wanted a cigar in his mouth, and he wanted to get to the elbow room. Like the entire, we talked to Brady Tkachuk, his brother, rocking an elbow room hat. I asked Evan Rodriguez off the camera, like, where are you guys headed to? He's like, I have a pretty good idea. We're all going to be at elbow room in the next couple hours drunk. Nice. Yeah, so like everybody, bro, I had a picture or a video of Lundy chugging beers with a dude in the stands who just handed him a beer. He's like, you want a beer? The guy threw him the beer, and it's on my social media. He's chugging the beer with the dude. So bro, these guys are awesome, man. Hollywood, like you think about, you know, the Heat winning the title when you were out there, they weren't gonna let you in the locker room to celebrate with them. They weren't gonna let you on the on the court or they weren't going to go celebrate with the fans, right? Like they got a room at Live or at 11, and they spent $10 billion. These guys are out there with the people, man. It's truly unbelievable.
So we were talking about this yesterday, and maybe the most incredible part of this is, and you brought up Marchand. I was going to talk about him, but every move that Bill Zito has made has worked. And we've been around a lot of franchises that every move hasn't worked, right? And you always bring in guys, if you think you're a title contending team, you bring in guys that you think can get you over the hump. And I used the example yesterday of the Heat bringing in Terry Rozier, right? You bring a guy like that in because you think, hey, this is a guy that can play at a high level. He can score. He can get you, you know, over that hump, right? He can help your team advance, you know, through the postseason. And it just didn't work. Everything the Panthers have touched has worked. I'm not even going to go down the list of Dolphins free agents that haven't worked, but everything they've done, I mean, it really is amazing. And the amount of, I don't want to say luck, but to win championships, you need everything to break your way. You got to have the health. You got to get the bounces. Like, it's all got to go your way.
Yeah, and look, even this year, right? I mean, bringing in Seth Jones and Brad Marchand, fine, right? Like, maybe the Panthers really, really benefited from two organizations that were just, you know, in a place where they could afford to make those decisions. Remember, like, the Blackhawks are paying part of Seth Jones' salary every year for him to be here.
That's got
to
sting.
Like it's insane. And then Brad Marchand, you think about, guys, the teams, the organizations that this Panthers team has either forced into rebuild mode, the Boston Bruins, right? Mm-hmm. Perhaps the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, this offseason. You know the Carolina Hurricanes are just like, man, we're toast. We're never competing with this team. The Tampa Bay Lightning, who were our daddies for years, literally aren't on the same class as us anymore here in South Florida. Like, when you just think about that, it genuinely does remind me, you know, what we could be picturing here with all those guys that you mentioned and all the way that Zito and this team signed them. I mean, they're going to be here, the core guys, right? Reinhart, Barkov, they're going to be here for the next couple of years. Matthew Tkachuk, hopefully Sam Bennett resigns. And who knows, man, Aaron Ekblad, if he takes a little bit less, that could open the door for Marchie to stay. I mean, we're literally in the midst of perhaps, you know, a legitimate lengthy dynasty. And it's because of those moves that Zito made. By the way, you bring up the Dolphins. I'm not going to do the thing where everybody's dunking on them because, man, social media has been giving the admin on Dolphins social, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whether it's TikTok, effing hell, man.
Do I need to be reading the comments?
They can't post a single thing without everybody just clowning on them, man.
We have to do that in the 8 o'clock time. Hour. Maybe we'll read some of the comments on there. One of the other reasons I wanted to talk to you here this morning is because the Miami Heat need to make some moves, man. They are not a franchise that usually kind of hangs in mediocrity. Kevin Durant is the flashy name out there. We saw, you know, some of the recent moves, you know, the Desmond Bane move, which, you know, was I couldn't believe what they gave up for that four, you know, unprotected first. Do the Heat, let's just cross this bridge here. Do the Heat even have enough to get Kevin Durant, even in the conversation?
Well, right now, it sounds like from all the reporting we're getting from Shams Charania and even here locally, Barry Jackson, it sounds like the Phoenix Suns are expecting a lot more of a hole for Kevin Durant. But guess what? It's just not happening right now. And from everything, you know, that we know, the Miami Heat and the Houston Rockets have been the most aggressive teams outside of Minnesota. But Kevin Durant made it pretty clear, yeah, I'm not moving to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And there was even a report yesterday on ESPN that Anthony Edwards isn't going to try to recruit Kevin Durant. Like, he's just bowing out. He's not getting involved. So as of right now, yeah, like Houston, Miami, are two of the three teams that he wants to come to. And I think Phoenix was expecting Hollywood, you know, a decent amount of draft capital moving forward for Kevin Durant. And maybe, you know, a young player, exciting asset. And they're quickly realizing, like, that's not going to happen. The Miami Heat are not going to give up the farm for Kevin Durant and picks. Like, it's not going to happen for a 37-year-old. I think he's 36 now. He'll turn 37 in September at the back end of his career, who, by the way, missed the playoffs a season ago and, you know, missed a lot of time on the court. So, Hollywood, here's where I'm at with this. I think the Miami Heat should trade for Kevin Durant. I know there's a host of Heat fans who are saying this is stupid. Even Durant, Tyler, and Bam doesn't compete for a title. And look, maybe they're right, okay? Maybe that trio is not talented enough to go beat the likes of the Oklahoma City Thunder, to go beat the likes of the Denver Nuggets. But I'll tell you what, I'm watching the Indiana Pacers right now on a run, this magical run of the NBA Finals. Jason Tatum probably is going to be out the entire year next year. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Knicks are a legitimate organization, even if they made the conference finals for the first time in 25 years.
Have they gotten anyone
years.
To interview for that job yet?
Goodness.
Yeah.
Has anyone even interviewed?
Actually, they're still waiting on an answer from Paul Maurice. And they're
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah, yeah. Their only qualifications, the New York Knicks, are that you have to already have a coaching position. That is their only qualification. So,
here's my issue, looking at the East.
I'm looking at the East, and look, it's wide open. Yeah. And you're telling me Kevin Durant can't help you?
But that's my thing. Here's my issue is, does Kevin Durant impact winning? And I would argue that he does not. I mean, look, I get it. You want a star here. You got to sell tickets. You want fans to be excited about your team. But does he impact winning realistically?
I think he does. Look, I'm not saying that's a bad argument your side, because it's easy to show me what he did in Brooklyn. It's easy to show me how big of a dumpster fire it's been in Phoenix. I'm with you. I'm not telling you you're wrong, but I still think Kevin Durant can come here. He doesn't have to be a vocal leader. He doesn't have to be a guy who's going to put the team on his back every single night. He's joining a legitimate organization that is structured, that needs a boost offensively. And then, you know, you're a little bit closer, and then you try to start adding, you know, some other lateral moves that make you a little bit better, which is what Pat Riley talked about in the offseason. I think, because I know the Miami Heat are not doing a full reset, because I know the Miami Heat are not trading Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero to totally reset and try to do what the Thunder did over a span of, you know, a half decade or almost a full decade. I know they're not doing that. They don't operate that way. Mm-hmm. To me, Kevin Durant is a no-brainer. He improves your team. And I'm looking at an Eastern Conference right now that, in my opinion, is you know, capable of being taken over by a team like this that goes out and makes that splash.
Well, Solana, I want to thank you for hanging with us here this morning. And you keep up the good work in the afternoons, all right?
Yeah. Hey, Dan Day, go get my guy Hollywood a little emergency or something, man. He needs.
I actually feel okay. It's just that my voice is.
Where you been at the elbow
clearly
room?
Clearly leaving me at this point.
You're at the elbow room, throwing down Coors Light and ripping heaters for the last couple hours.
That's where I've been. You know me too well.
We had the pre-show meeting at the elbow room. You know, we figured that's the best prep. You know,
put Jimmy's cigarettes back, Hollywood. All right, guys. Yeah.
All right, buddy. See you later.
Let's shift gears over to the NBA before we run out of time. There was a huge trade. Desmond Bane, what was it? Four first round picks, four unprotected first round picks. And there's also some, you know, percolating news about Kevin Durant to the Heat and maybe Russell Westbrook to the Heat. What do you think? If you add Kevin Durant, let's say you can add Kevin Durant and you don't lose Bam or Tyler, where are they in the East? Bam, KD, Tyler Hero is your big three.
Hawk, I said it last night on our sports show with Clay, because we debated, like, you know, what do you give up for KD? Like, what do you legitimately give up? And I said anything but Bam or Tyler. That's where I leave it. And when you talk about assets and building for the future and all this stuff, you look at what happened here. If you go back to December when the Heat and Pacers were basically the same team, at least it seemed like, you know, and this is obviously pre all the Jimmy stuff. You're thinking to yourself, okay, the Pacers are about as likely as the Heat are to get to the finals. You know, it's unlikely. And the Pacers are in the NBA finals battling against a 68-win team. I mean, you look at what they did, or 64, whatever they were, 64-win team. You look at what they did, and it shows you that the East is wide open still. So, yeah, Kevin Durant with Bam and Tyler, you put other pieces in there, led by Eric Spoelstra, I think is a team that could compete for one of the top few seeds and have an opportunity to compete in the playoffs. I do. I just don't think... And I think you have to think that way, because what I told Clay last night is what I'll tell you right now, Hawk. I don't want to see this team run it back. There were times where that offense and that team last year were unwatchable. And it's okay to say that. They were. Defensively, they play hard, and Spo, they always have a chance. And I love all those things in the culture. But this team needs something. And a 26-point score, I don't care what age he is, and Kevin Durant, moves the needle for me to them being competitive in the East. I think you do what you can to get them.
But, Will, the only thing, and Kevin Durant's a Hall of Famer first ballot. He's one of the most amazing scorers I've watched with my own eyes living. But I watched Brooklyn, with him and James Harden, nothing. Then I watched Phoenix with him, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. They didn't even make the playoffs, Will. So that is that something that should pop in my head when I think about Kevin Durant? Is just he had to get with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and them boys to win a championship.
I mean, you could kind of, you know, you could say the same thing with LeBron, right? LeBron had to come here with Dwayne and CD, and then he won the title, and then he gets Anthony Davis. And, you know, I get the logic. You're not wrong. But I think Kevin Durant's a different type of superstar in the sense that, you know, he gets a lot of backlash for stuff like that. But the reality is, he doesn't have to come in here and be a leader. He doesn't kind of have to be a rah-rah guy. You got Bam for that. You know, you got guys in that building that – you got obviously even UD behind the scenes. You have guys in that building that are leaders that can be the heart and soul of the team. Just go in there, take your hoodie off, score 26 points, put it back on, come back the next day, come back the next day, deal with the media however you want to deal with, and be Kevin Durant, because the Heat are missing something. And to me, a player of his caliber, his elite scoring ability, I've never heard a bad thing about Kevin Durant as a teammate, right? I never heard that he's difficult. And they just dealt with 5-6 years of a guy who came in with the label of being difficult, and they went to 2 NBA Finals. So to me, a guy like KD would fit in just fine. I don't see a problem with any of the other stuff that, you know, as far as what he's done or hasn't done in the past in certain teams. I think here he would fit in fine and help this team be a lot better and a lot more watchable and exciting than they've been the last couple of years.
I know it's a fluid situation, Will. I saw Shams Charania a couple hours ago say that KD has no desire, quote, to be in Minnesota, and now the Miami Heat are the betting favorites. But I realize, very fluid situation. But you are seeing people kind of cape up for guys they don't think the Heat should trade. And look, is Khalil Ware on that list for you? If it means Kevin Durant, would you be willing to part ways with Khalil Ware? Or is there still too much upside there for the Heat, and they should do everything they can to keep him?
I mean, there's two parts to that. The second part you just said is true. There's a lot of upside, and they should do whatever they can to keep him. But if you can get Kevin Durant, the only ones I'm not trading are Bam and Tyler. That's it. Because to me, KD, Bam, and Tyler is your new nucleus once you move past post-Jimmy. And let's not forget what the Heat did. That was their core, right? The core of Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler with other pieces mixed with the development of Gabe and Max and all those things and Duncan hitting threes. That became an NBA final team twice. So if you throw Kevin Durant for the next couple of years in there and you mix and match and you trust, again, you trust your head coach, one of the ultimate greats of Spo, you trust your front office to fill in pieces, to me, that's a chance you take. That's a risk you take other than running it back, because running it back isn't going to work. We've seen it 2 years in a row. It's just not going to work. They have to pivot post-Jimmy, and that has to include an alpha, a guy that can take that lead role. And I don't know if anybody fits that better for the short term than Kevin Durant.
You're telling me, Will, that if the deal was presented to you and it included Tyler Hero and not Bam, you would say no to Kevin Durant?
Well, the problem is you have to think what else is going on, because I don't think the combo of KD and Bam is going to move the needle by itself in the East. I think it has to have Tyler, because I think Tyler is at his best when he's not the alpha. And Tyler handled the alpha role pretty well post-Jimmy, but we saw that he needs help. You throw in a 25-point score, and then Tyler can be the 23, 25-point score as the secondary guy. Now you're talking about a team that I think that can make some noise and be good in the East. I think you take that away, and yeah, you're losing too much scoring. What you're getting in KD and losing in Tyler doesn't balance out to me.
And, Will, what is – if KD's off the – books. Let's say KD goes to Houston, wherever else he's talking about. Mm. Then what do you do? Because I don't want to run it back either. But now what do you do? We depend on Russell Westbrook to come in here and be the one? Because he can't shoot a three. They leave him wide open nowadays. What would be option two if we can't get KD?
I mean, the option two, Channing, is basically run it back, but for the beginning of the year of having Andrew Wiggins as that third piece, you know? And that's and then you see what the development of Khalil was. You see if Nico could stay healthy and how he develops all year. You are essentially, if you don't get KD, now, are there other things that could open up in the next, you know, 7-8 weeks? Sure, I'm sure there are. But the reality is this is what's in front of you. So there would be some sort of a version of run it back. Because to me, run it back, everybody says run it back, right? Run it back, it's a term we use a lot. It's not that you're bringing the same 15 guys back, but that you're bringing the same core back. And the core post-Jimmy was Tyler, Bam, and Andrew Wiggins, you know, in the development of those young guys I mentioned. I don't see a scenario, if they don't get KD, outside, again, of another star coming free for some reason, that it's not going to be some sort of version of that next season.
Will Manso, see him on Local 10. We'll see you at the Amerind Bank Arena tomorrow, Will.
I will come by and say hello. I cannot wait. I wish it was today, guys. I really am. I hate this extra day. I want to get there tomorrow, but we'll have some fun.
I'm ready to roll as well, man. I hope they close it out tomorrow. That would be fun. We'll see you, Will. We appreciate your time.
You got it, guys.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was Doug Plagans and this man, Billy Lindsay, on the call last night. Billy, good morning. Thank you for the time. How did that feel to call that one last night?
Oh, I'm just as a pinch yourself. Is this happening again? Yeah, you get out to that big lead. And it was a little bit less stressful than last year when it's 2-1 down on the clock. That helps out things. But oh, what a time. What a group of men. What a special group of people in that locker room. And the way they work, the way that they commit to do this twice in a year, all credit to that team. But to call the games and to be part of it around this organization, you just have to look around and just soak it all in. You have to cherish it. You just never know if this moment is ever going to arrive or happen again. And it's been beautiful to see it done. And this team has captured South Florida. And you got to look back now on the salary cap era. This is one of the greatest hockey teams that we've seen. And I know Tampa did the same thing, just in a different order. But that was with COVID not playing the full 82 games. This team had played a full playoff season, or a full regular season in the playoffs the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. They put it through, and just to see it all and happen again, it's a different feeling than last year, but it still does not take any of the shine off it.
Bill, this team never flinches either, which is kind of the amazing thing too, right? They get forced to go to a 7-game series with Toronto. They have the meltdown, down here in game 4 in this series. And what do? They just bounce back and take games 5 and 6 and look dominant doing it. They just never seem to be bothered by anything.
No, they're not. It's how mentally strong are you? This team is mentally strong. They don't. And we lose game, fine. Let's just move on to the next one. But they have an identity. They understand who they are. They're mean. They're nasty. They're hard to play against. And they're skilled. And there's a lot of will that goes a little bit with that skill. Paul Maurice, and they understand their defensive structure. They understand their jobs. And when you have that kind of feeling, and you know if you go out there and you do what you're supposed to do and execute it, you're going to win. Just because your talent and the systems that you play. If you're a little bit lazy or off guard one night, yeah, some teams can catch you. But for the majority of the last 2 years in the playoffs, it's been a battle of attrition. Can you hang with this Panther team through a 60-minute hockey game, through a 7-game series? And that question always has been coming up. No, you can't hang with this team that is so hard, so heavy against you. McDavid, Draisaitl, love them. Two of the greatest players that we have and the greatest in the world. But they're getting leaned on heavy by Barkov. Mm-hmm. They're getting leaned on and just pushed. And we take it over the edge. And if you're gonna beat us, you're going to have to pay a price. And that's the way that it is. And by the end, it's just usually too much for the opponent.
Billy, you look at the balance of this team, and anybody could have taken the Conn Smythe last night. I know there were some names that were involved in that, but we were asking this morning, who's the best player on the Panthers? And it's like, well, they've had so many different guys step up at different times. It's just such a balanced attack.
No, we have 3 number one lines.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to be Marchand and Lundell, Lois, Arena? That's your first line one night. They're doing all the damage. Then it's the Barkov line. Then it's the Tkachuk line. And the fourth one's really good at what they do. How do you match up against that if you're the opposition? That trade for Marchand, that's phenomenal. How does Bill Zito do that? And Seth Jones as well.
those are round pegs into round holes. Those big trade deadline moves usually don't work. But yeah, good luck matching up against our team. It's just balance of riches throughout the top nine and that forward group on the back end. Bill Zito, the coaching staff, Paul Maurice, and the way that he utilizes them, it's perfection.
Billy, I am curious though. On the flip side here, I know you were on the radio in Toronto. You told me what is going on up there as far as the Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl talk. I mean, I can only imagine Connor McDavid's getting dragged pretty good up there for having the series that he had. And I know I credit the Panthers a ton for that, but he didn't look like the best player in the world in that series.
No, and it looked hard. But what's Connor like? They said Edmonton's deeper this year. Yes, they are. But nowhere compared to our second and third lines. What they have down there, Kasperi Kapanen, Pod Coles, and just players that are okay. That's just the honest assessment. I felt some of their role players were better last year and suited into that finals. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, if they don't score, all of a sudden they get down in a game and they're down against us. They have to play 30 minutes. If you're a player, how frustrating is that? You're not only trying to carry when you're in the Stanley Cup, a whole country that's rooting for you on your back, and a whole province, a whole city, and a whole team, organization. Connor McDavid does his best. It was hard. It was a hard series. They just asked too much of the guy. That Edmonton team, They've got to find a way to surround him with some better hockey players throughout the lineup. They're that good. They got here because they did get a little bit more help this year, but Connor McDavid and Draisaitl still have to do too much.
Billy Lindsay here with us on QAM. I can only imagine, Bill, what it's like to be in that booth and actually call this thing. And your partner, Doug Plagans, is going to join us later in the show. He's fired up, man. I see those videos you guys put out. You guys both, you get pretty fired up in that booth. What was that like to call one of those things again?
Yeah, it's awesome. But to be alongside Doug, we have fun up there.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it. I just enjoy it. He's class through and through. I was sitting next to him, and I mop up some words here and there. This guy's going clean as a whistle. Even if we're going into overtime, I'm like, how do you do that? Like, you're announcing every game. Every word is perfect coming out of your mouth. I'm over there like, yeah, that one didn't come out right. So he's a true talent, and to ride shotgun beside Doug, it's been a lot of fun, and just getting to know him over the years. Really interesting guy, just through and through. It favorite TV show is Golden Girls, and his favorite music is punk metal, so I was trying to put that together. And he's never had a bowl of soup in his life. He hates soup. So
okay,
there's all kinds of complexities.
We're learning about all kinds of soup, like not even a lobster bisque?
Nope, nothing. Doesn't like the texture.
So I happen to know, too, that he's a big card nerd, because I collect cards,
and
too.
And a card nerd, yes.
So he's into that. Billy, what's the celebration looking like here? What do you guys got going on here the next few days?
For myself?
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
I'm gonna play some pickleball with my wife.
Nice.
It seems like I haven't seen her for a while, being on the road a long time. So I get to just relax. I'm gonna lay by my pool probably. May go down to the beach. I might get a few rounds of golf in, and be at the Stanley Cup parade. That is what the celebration is gonna look like for myself. Just get her out and enjoy our South Florida sunshine while it doesn't get too hot down here, and let the sunshine and just like it's gonna just glisten off Lord Stanley, and I'm just gonna get out there a few days and just let it, all that vitamin D soak in my body.
Billy, I'll tell you, I don't think there's a cooler trophy in sports. They showed that thing last night, and they're shining it up and getting ready to bring that thing out there. And you know, even the commissioner said how difficult it is to win two of them. And we were talking about it this morning. To win one, everything has to go right. The bounces have to go your way. The health, you know, factor has to go your way. I mean, literally everything has to go in your favor to win it, right? Because there's just so much that can go wrong. But to do it twice is just kind of, you know, unthinkable.
It is. It's close to borderline. And this is going to go down, especially in the salary cap era, 3 years in a row. And what happens next year? This is going to go down as one of the greatest teams in NHL history. That you put yourself in rarefied air. Just doesn't happen. Toronto Maple Leafs have not been to a Stanley Cup since 1967. Mm-hmm. Vancouver Canucks have never won a Stanley Cup. The Buffalo Sabres have never won a Stanley Cup. there's a bunch of really long historic franchises either waiting a long time to win a cup. Canada hasn't won a cup since 1993. They got six teams. That's 30-plus years. And then you're able to do it back-to-back? Yeah, that's an accomplishment. That's a wow. That is... You are up there now as... I don't know if Tkachuk used the word, or dynasty last night, trying to throw that around, but you're on the verge with another great year next year of just putting your... You're already into outer orbit. You could go into the stratosphere with another great run next year.
And it looks like, Billy, they're going to have a chance to do that next year with a lot of these guys coming back. And South Florida has all of a sudden become the top destination for free agents. You know, guys are going to want to come here on the cheap.
Yeah. We'll have to see how Bill Zito does this. But so 6 straight years the Cup has gone through Florida. 4 of the 6 last champions. 2 for Tampa. They went 3 years in a row. Now we go 3 years in a row and win 2. Yeah, we're the hockey mecca of the world. And would you ever thought you'd say that? Florida is the hockey mecca of the world, and South Florida owns it right now. Yeah, people want to come here. You'll get players that just want to be here and be part of it, no matter what. Winning is the ultimate. Once you become a player, I got into the NHL. My first goal was to play in the NHL. My second goal was to establish myself in the NHL. Once you're established, if you have any right mind as a player, your only other thing that you ever want out of your career is a Stanley Cup championship. So you will see people want to stay here, be around this. It is that special.
Billy, congratulations. You guys do an incredible job on the radio. You and Doug, love listening to you guys, and such a class organization, and just a great feeling here once again. This is, by the way, Billy, you notice this is the 9th championship in the history of this town. In the big four sports, that's been
awesome.
It, man. This doesn't happen often, as you know.
It's all good, man. But we all got one, right? Yeah, I know Marlins. Yeah, Dolphins back in. Everyone's got one.
Some more recent than others, but everyone's got one. Yeah.
So that's all good. Yeah. Well, I remember the Heat ones and the Marlins.
Absolutely. Dolphins, and this Panthers team, Billy.
We got to get the Dolphins cranking.
I know. We got to get them going. But this Panthers team, they are in there with the talk of the best teams ever in this town. I mean, they are right at the top of that Mount Rushmore right now with this thing that they've put together. But, Billy, thank you so much for the time. It's great talking with you. Have a great time out there at the parade, okay? Hopefully we'll see you out there.
We'll see you out there. Enjoy, guys. Thank you so much. And also, Florida, everyone listening, love all of you. Enjoy it.
Welcome back in here on WQAM. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Omar, they asked for some Dolphins talk this morning, so we shall deliver. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm all right. You had me in the penalty box all yesterday, so I'm glad I can come out and play today.
My man is using hockey terms in his opening. He's getting it, man. He's a hockey guy now. You're a Broward guy too, Omar, so we'll be bringing you to some games, all right?
I am not a Broward guy. You know that.
You're a county line guy.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'm a county line guy.
You're on the fringes. Speaking of the fringes, Omar, we didn't get to talk about this yesterday, but that race between Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill is a no-go. At this point, Noah says personal reasons or something or other. Kind of disappointing because I thought it would actually be kind of a fun thing to watch. I don't think it's a terrible thing for Tyreek Hill to be doing with his free time.
Out of
other things that he could be doing.
That's correct.
What do you think, though, of this thing getting called off here?
You know, I've heard a theory that it's about money, and I totally disagree considering I know for a fact that there are sponsors, there are people that are willing to throw hundreds of thousands of dollars on an exhibition race. That's mainly just for social media, because when I was with I Am Athlete, I think we had $400,000 from sponsors for Brandon Marshall, Terrell Owens race that Brandon Marshall backed out of. So I'm pretty sure that Olympian versus the number one player in the NFL, according to his peers, would at least get you about $200,000 apiece. I just think that this is, hopefully it was something that was injury related for Noel. And I think it's great for Tyreek just because it keeps him motivated, keeps him driven. He's faster than he's been in years. Obviously, you know, running a 10.15 isn't tremendously great, but it's a lot faster than a lot of people can run. And he's going to continue to train and continue to train and work on his speed. And that's one of the things. Tyreek is in great shape. He hasn't worked on catching because he had the two surgeries on his hands. But in terms of speed, it's there.
Where do you stand on?
He needs to work on his endurance, and that's what he said.
So that's the thing with Tyreek. Like, where do you stand on him? Because we have this debate. We're discussing it with Joe and everything. And has he lost a step? Has age caught up to him? Was it just a perfect storm of a mess of last season that kind of was the derailing factor and injuries and stuff? But I guess the main question is, has he lost a step, or can we expect 2,000-yard Tyreek Hill to, you know, take the field this season?
I don't know about 2,000 yards, but I definitely think that you can expect a more dangerous Tyreek Hill. There were issues last year with his hands and with his knee. Mm-hmm. We know that at the arrest, he talked about having a clean out. There were during training camp, you know, Tyreek would skip the first 30, 40 minutes and then show up for team periods and beat somebody deep and then, you know, go disappear for practice. That's pretty much his routine. But what you saw during the season, and this is probably not even the first season, there were critical third down plays that Tyreek wasn't on the field because he was winded. And he had to work on his wind and his stamina. And that's one of the things that he's working on now. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out for him during the season. But Tyreek has already talked about, you know, he knows how important and how critical this season is for him because his contract isn't guaranteed next year. There's absolutely no way that the Dolphins are going to pay him $40 million unless he is a 2,000-yard producer, which I highly doubt. So he knows that this is a major contract year for him, and considering the amount of kids and families and divorces that he's going through, it's pretty critical for him to have a great year.
Yeah, we definitely need a different year from Tyreek Hill, but this team is stressed. The new culture, it's going to be different this year. Have you noticed, Omar,
Are you sure?
I'm asking you. You're at the OTAs. Have you noticed anything different in the team, and the attitude with the culture surrounding
these teams?
They're
saying it's a new culture.
I mean, they said
they're
it last year.
Yeah, they did say that last year. They're saying it. It has to be something. You know, it was really weird and odd that they didn't like each other last year. I don't know why they didn't like each other. I don't know why they didn't click. Obviously, adversity and struggles lead to division, and that's what you had last season. But the question is, you know, can they get it all together? Can they become a band of brothers again? And do they have that leadership? That was my main question going into the offseason. When you lose a Teron Armstead and Calais Campbell, who are probably two of the best leaders that I've ever seen in professional sports, and I'm not exaggerating. Teron Armstead is going to go in the leadership, going to be a Hall of Famer, 17-year veteran. He has more experience and more knowledge than anybody who coaches him, and this is fact. His playing career outlasted Mike McDaniel's coaching career. I think he was playing in the league when Anthony Weaver was playing in the league. He's an established veteran. And they held that locker room together. People don't realize how difficult it was to get to that 8 wins, even though they lost in the season finale against the Jets. To put yourself in position in the season finale to be in the playoff hunt, considering the disaster of a year that you were having, that took tremendous, you know, chutzpah. So when they lost them, one of my major questions was who's going to step up and fill that leadership void. We know Sealer's going to be a leader. We know Alec Ingold's going to be a leader. But what I'm learning is guys like Jalen Waddle, guys like Devon Achane, guys like Bradley Chubb are stepping up to fill that leadership void. Jordan Brooks, and we'll see how it plays out this season, because I think leadership is ultimately what's going to decide whether or not the season is successful or not.
Why are we talking about Tua being more of a leader? He's the highest paid player on the team. He's got number one on his chest. Shouldn't he be the guy that's number one? Why are we not saying this is the year Tua really steps up and is the leader of this team on and off the field and does everything vocally and physically and everything else like that? Why are we not saying more of that?
I think you can expect, no matter who it is as a quarterback, I think you can expect them to be a leader of the offense. And Tua is undoubtedly, unquestionably the leader of the offense. But quarterbacks have so much on their plate, they cannot be a leader of the locker room. They cannot be policing players showing up late. They cannot be policing players, you know, on defense. You have to have a leader where people break script and do the wrong play. Somebody's got to be in their face. That's not Tua's job. He's without a doubt a leader. I've never, even Tom Brady, when did you see Tom Brady get in a defensive player's face? You know, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, they play their leadership role, but I don't think a leader can ever be the ultimate captain of a team. A quarterback, they have too much on their plate as is to sit there and police the locker room. And really, that's what it's about. Somebody's got to police the locker room.
Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald here with us on QAM. Omar, this Jalen Ramsey thing, I keep seeing stuff pop up that, you know, they might need to rework his contract. They're still trying to trade him. What the heck is going on with that guy, and how can we get him out of here as quickly as possible?
I actually think, and I have to look into this, and this is something that I need help with from people on the inside. I think his contract has been reworked because he's down to $1 million base salary. I got to verify this. That means that they've given him option bonuses, which probably have already been worked out in his contract. And if that's the case, it's going to be very easy to move him. Because if a team has to pay $1.5 million for Jalen Ramsey, trust me, it's going to be easy to move him. And I knew this from the very beginning, Jalen isn't just going anywhere. You're not just trading Jalen anywhere. Jalen's probably one of the biggest bulldogs in the NFL. And Jalen controls his own destiny. He probably controls where he plays. You're not gonna bully Jalen, which is probably the problem and the reason why he's leaving here. Jalen is going to bully you. And so this isn't an easy trade to make. It's not like he can go to any team. I really think it's going to come down to one of the LA teams, because I think this has also something to do with family, and his kids and his family live in LA. As a father, you don't want to be away from your daughters. And I could completely understand that. So, I'm curious to see how this plays out.
And then we have a couple of guys that are disgruntled about their contracts right now. Omar, are we going to get these things figured out here before camp starts?
Yeah, we got about 2 months to work it out. The Dolphins, they generally don't work it out until they absolutely have to. Most contracts get done probably 2 weeks before the regular season opens. Tua was probably the lone exception to that, and that was because he was kind of holding back the offense. In terms of development, installation, practices. But this is the offseason. This is when business gets done. And if you're Zach Seeler and you're being paid basically $8.5 million and Joe Schmo at your position is being paid 16, wouldn't you want a contract restructure? If you're Jonnu Smith and you're supposed to be paid $4.1 million and Joe Schmo and everybody in the world is making 8-9, including Mike Gesicki, who you're head and shoulders better than, wouldn't you want a readjustment? Wouldn't you want a new contract? So this is the norm in the NFL. And a lot of times, when just like last season, you know, one of your main individuals who kind of corrupted your locker room was Javon Holland. Well, what happened with Javon Holland? You decided that you didn't want to pay him. Okay, well, he kind of became a cancerous element in your locker room. You know, these things happen when you decide that you don't want to take care of your team and take care of your veterans and take care of your key players. You know, they kind of can become toxic individuals. And the last thing that you want, especially with a Jonnu Smith and a Zach Seeler, who are the first guys in, last guys out kind of guys, is for them to not buy into your program. You want them to be selling your program to other players. So my hope is that this gets done and that both sides find some common ground. There's no reason that you can't give Jonnu Smith a Mike Gesicki contract. I just wrote that in the Miami Herald. Mike Gesicki's getting getting $25.5 million over 3 years. There's no reason that you don't have that offer on the table for Jonnu Smith. None. They're the same age. Jonnu's already a better player. There's absolutely no reason you don't have that offer on the table. Now, Christian Wilkins is a little bit more complicated because he's locked up for 2 years. Now, he signed that deal probably 2 days after suffering what could have been a tragic knee injury. So clearly he took less than what he should have because he wanted a bird in the hand instead of two in the bush. You have to address Zach Sealer. Zach Sealer is probably the most important player on your team outside of Tua Tagovailoa. If you want this season to tank, go ahead and don't take care of Zach Sealer and see what happens. So they know this. Hopefully somebody has relayed that to Steve Ross. Zach Sealer's, no matter who's coaching his team, no matter who's the GM of his team, you want Zach Sealer to be part of this program. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you take care of your most important players.
So, Omar Keller, with that being said, in your mind, what is the timetable to get something done with a Zach Sealer and Jonnu Smith?
Week before the regular season starts.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately for players, they don't have much leverage when it comes to holding out from camp. I think it's a $50,000 per day fine. By the time you get into 3 weeks of holdouts, you'll probably be playing for free. So that's what you see is you see hold-ins. Now, I don't have a problem if Jonnu Smith and Zach Sealer sit out the first 2-3 weeks of camp. Or they can do what Christian Wilkins did, which is you practice when you don't have any exhibitions on the table or any joint practices on the table, but you shut it down when joint practices begin. That's what Christian Wilkins did. And that's the ideal way to put pressure on the organization. Does that mean it'll hinder your play and performance? Yeah. But you got to understand, this is the time to do business. Right now is the time to do business. 2 weeks before the regular season, when September rolls around, that's when it's football. So hopefully both sides of this thing understand that that's what's on the horizon.
Omar, just to get you a little tease for tomorrow, you'll be back with us. And I know tickets for training camp have been put out there for the fans to scoop up. We'll ask you tomorrow what the fans should be looking for. I'll let you have a day here to marinate, but we'll get your take on what fans should be looking for when they hit camp in the coming weeks here, and also Mike Florio on it. He had some strong stuff about the Dolphins last week. So,
yeah, I kind of disagreed with Mike on
I know
that,
you did.
We will take it to task. So we'll have a discussion. I have the greatest amount of respect for Mike, and there's just some things that you don't know. Like Mike is a head coach. Like I've covered a lot of guys who are not head coaches, who happen to have head coach roles. Mike's a head coach, so we'll have that discussion tomorrow.
Well, I love a good radio fight, Omar, and you guys disagree on
you
that.
Do.
So hopefully we'll get some fireworks late in the show tomorrow. But thank you for taking the time this morning, and we'll see you tomorrow. Right?
All right, guys.
All right, Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.